morning, everybody. If you are able to stand, would you please stand with me and read the word this morning? Today we're going to be looking at John chapter 1, verses 29 through 34, and they'll be here on the screen so you can read along. John 1 says this: "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one I was talking about when I said, a man is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. I did not recognize him as the Messiah, but I have been baptizing with water so that he might be revealed to Israel.' Then John testified, 'I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting upon him. I didn't know he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, the one on whom you see the Spirit descend and rest is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I saw this happen to Jesus, so I testify that he is the chosen one of God.'" The word of the Lord. You may be seated. What do you see when you look at someone? You know, when you look at a person, you think very certain thoughts, you feel very certain feelings about that person. And the thing is that what you see when you look at a person is probably different than how someone else sees that person. We all have different perceptions of people. And to illustrate that, I have a little exercise. I'm going to bring up some people on the screen, and I want to show you. I want us to all understand that people have different perceptions of people. Here's the first one, right here. This guy's not polarizing at all, right? People look at him, and they think he's either a hero or he's the devil himself. And then there's this guy, and people have the same thoughts, except if you think the first guy's a hero, you probably think this guy's the devil. And if you thought the last guy's the devil, you think this guy's a hero. And then there's this guy, who a lot of people have very similar polarizing views, and there's a good chance if you were born in the last 20 or 30 years, you don't even know who this guy is. You look at him, and you just see an old guy, right? That's politics. Politics are polarizing. But the thing is that we have differing perceptions in every area of life with every single person, right? Let's look at comedy. There's this guy, right? Some people think that this is a masterpiece of a movie, right? There are families who watch Elf year after year after year. They think Will Ferrell is like the definition of Christmas. And there are other people, like one of my brothers, who think that Will Ferrell is not funny at all. They can't stand Elf. My family used to watch, we had this tradition of watching Elf every year. And my brother, he hated this movie, and he would fight and fight and fight and be like, "I don't want to watch it, I don't want to watch it." And we would all say, "No, it's funny, you like this movie." And he would sit there. And what we would do is we wouldn't watch the movie. We would watch my brother watch the movie because he didn't want to admit that he thought Elf was funny. And so he would sit there and be like, "Mm." And then we'd catch him laughing. That's great. And then there's this movie, Napoleon Dynamite, right? People think that this is hilarious. This is the epitome of comedy. Or they see this guy and they think it's the stupidest thing ever made. Or there's this, Ellen DeGeneres, right? There are a lot of people who like her. Like, people think she's funny, she's nice, she's endearing. And then now there's all this controversy. People think she's the devil herself, right? And you might be a person who used to like her, and now with all the controversy, you're like, "No, I hate her. I never want to see her again," right? Or there's music, right? People look at artists and they have different perceptions, right? You might see these four. And you might think that they are some of the greatest musicians who've ever lived. They're some of the greatest songwriters, right? They define what music is. And if you've been born in the last 20 years, there's a good chance you look at them and you have no idea who they are, right? Or there's this guy, right? You might look at him, and if you haven't been born in the last 20 years, you look at him and you just see a lot of tattoos and you're very confused. You're very confused, right? Or there's this girl, right? You might listen to her and you think bad guy's a bop, or again, you're very confused why she has very long green fingernails that look like she could strike you and you would be filled with venom, right? We have different perceptions. When we cycle through all these people, right, you have very specific feelings and thoughts about all these people. Even if you don't know them, you make a judgment call based on what they look like or what you think they do. those nine pictures, every single person in this room had a very specific perception of those people. And they were all different. Even if you have a similar perception to someone else, you still vary. Because every single human being is unique. And every single human being is unique in how we view other human beings. And I say all this because sometimes we get caught in this trap of thinking that our perception of who someone is reality. But in reality, our perception of who someone is usually falls very short of who they actually are. We fall into this trap over and over and over again. I know I do. I fall into this trap of thinking what I think is fact. My opinions are fact. What I think of someone, that's who they really are. But that's not true. We do this to each other. We do this to the people we see on TV or we see on our phones. And worst of all, we do this to Jesus. We grow up in this country. We hear about Jesus. We grow up with all these, you know, connotations of who we think Jesus is. But how do we know that what we think about Jesus is actually real? When you look at Jesus, when you think about Jesus, how do you know that your perception of Jesus is reality? That you actually have an accurate and real and true understanding of who Jesus is? See, John the Baptist, he went through this experience. The passage that we just read, John himself says that he had two differing perceptions of Jesus. All right, we can look at this passage again. John says that he did not know that Jesus was the Messiah. He says, I didn't know he was the one. Now remember, John is a relative of Jesus, right? He's in the same family as Jesus. He grew up with Jesus. He should know. If anyone, he should know that Jesus was the Messiah. He lived with him. He saw him. He saw how he talked. He saw what he did. He saw how he lived his life. John should have been able to know that Jesus was the Messiah. But that was not his perception of Jesus. When he looked at Jesus growing up, he did not see the Messiah. He saw a normal, ordinary person. But that perception changed, and John had an experience where he realized his perception of who Jesus was not accurate. It was not true to reality. And this is what he says. He says that God revealed to him who Jesus really was. It says, I didn't know he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, the one on whom you see the Spirit descend and rest is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I saw this happen to Jesus, so I testify that he is the chosen one of God. God reveals to John that his perception of Jesus is wrong. His perception of Jesus is inaccurate. And he shows John just who this Jesus really is. He shows John that this Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Christ. He's the Savior. He is the one with the Holy Spirit who can baptize with the Holy Spirit. And so what I want us to do this morning is I want us to look at this passage and to really ask that question, how can I know that my perception of Jesus is real? How can I know that my perception of Jesus, what I think about Jesus, who I think he is, how do I know that that is true and real? Because if we're honest with ourselves, and we know that we oftentimes run into a problem where what we think about someone is not who they really are. And so in this passage, we see three things that happen. We see three actions that come up that really show us how we can know who this Jesus really is, how we can see him for who he truly is. And the first action is the one that I already said. It's that God reveals. John the Baptist didn't discover who Jesus was on his own. In fact, if God had never intervened, if God had never revealed that Jesus was the Messiah to John, John would never, he'd never have found out that Jesus was actually the Messiah. It took an act of divine intervention, of the Holy Spirit coming and resting upon Jesus for John to see who he really is. And the same goes for me, and the same goes for you. We need God to reveal himself to us. We need God to show himself to us, to open our eyes. You are not going to be able to see who Jesus really is on your own. And the reason why is because we are trapped in sin. We are trapped in darkness. The issue is that we don't hear about Jesus. The issue isn't that we don't know about Jesus. The thing is, we can't see who Jesus is because we don't want to. We're trapped in sin. Paul says that we're slaves to sin. He says that we're dead in our sin. Right? The prophets spoke about this when they would talk about people who had ears, but they could not hear, who had eyes, yet they could not see. If we're trapped in our sin, if we're trapped in our darkness, Jesus can come right in front of us. You could grow up with Jesus, just like John the Baptist did, but you wouldn't be able to see him for who he really is. We need God to reveal himself to us. We need God to work in us, to show us who he is. And that's the first action that we see, how we can know who Jesus is. It's not something you do. It's not something you can work at. It's an act of God. It's God in his grace and his mercy telling us to wake up. This is who I am. And when we have an experience like that, when we see God for who he is, when we see Jesus for who he really is, then we're compelled into an action. And that's exactly what John does. When John has this experience where God reveals himself, when John has this experience where he sees Jesus for who he really is, then John has a mission. What does he say? He says he goes out and he testifies. He goes out into the world telling everybody, this is who Jesus is. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. And we do the same thing. When we come to see who Jesus really is, then it's our mission to go out into the world and testify to the whole world, this is Jesus. This is the Christ. This is the Messiah. This is the one who's come to save. This is the one who is the Son of God. It's our mission to go out into the world. And we testify. But here's the problem, is there are many people who hear these two statements, and they see them as contradictory. They say, well, if God has to reveal himself to people, why am I called to go out into the world and testify about Jesus? If it takes a divine work, if it takes God's action to show himself, then what is the point in me going out? And you might be having that same thought. Right? Like if God has to reveal himself, what's the point of me going into the world and saying who this Jesus is? Well, if you're thinking that, I want to remind you of the picture of creation in the very beginning. When God makes this world, when he makes humanity, what's the purpose that he gives them? Why did God make humanity in the first place? In the very beginning, it says that God made humanity, that he made Adam, and he put him in a garden, that he could work it, and he can tend to it, that he can have dominion over it. God made humanity to work with humanity, God doesn't need us. God doesn't need a helper. God doesn't need a friend. Yet he made Adam to work this earth, that man and God could have the shared relationship, that they would work together, that they would live together, that they would share their lives together. That is the picture we see in the beginning. We see a life where God and man are united. They live together in the garden where the very presence of God is right there. And the whole mission of the gospel is to recreate that picture, that man and God would be reunited. And so God calls us, he invites us onto that mission. God doesn't need us. God's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's ever present. God doesn't need anything outside of himself. Yet he invites us and he calls us to be co-workers with him, that we would work alongside him, that we would be faithful servants. Because when we do that, we're fulfilling our very purpose as human beings. That we enter into this relationship with God and we work alongside him. And God delights in using us to fulfill his purposes and his plans. God doesn't need us, but he wants us. And he wants you to be an active participant in the restoration of this world. And so he sends John the Baptist out into this world to testify about Jesus, to prepare the way, not because God needed a messenger, but because he wanted a messenger. He wanted humanity to come with him, to work alongside him, that they would be together again. And so God calls the same thing of you. God does not need you. God does not need you to fulfill some kind of purpose or plan. God isn't lacking in any way. It's not like God's looking down on us and he's worried that, oh no, if Jill doesn't do this thing, if Frank doesn't fulfill this certain task, then it's all going to go downhill. Everything will go wrong. No, God doesn't need you, but he invites you. He calls you. He wants you to come to him, and he wants you to follow him, and he wants you to work alongside him, because that is the very reason he made you in the beginning. And so we go out. When we see who this God really is, when we know him and we recognize him, then God invites us onto this mission. He says, go, testify, show this world who I am. And that is the life of the Christian, that God and man, hand in hand, are both working to reveal who God is to the world. And that is exactly what John the Baptist did. And as John does this, it spreads like wildfire. And we see this in a story that takes place right after the passage we just read. Starting in John chapter 1, verse 35, it says this. The following day, John was again standing with two of his disciples. As Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Jesus looked around and saw them following. "What do you want?" he asked them. They replied, "Rabbi," which means teacher. "Where are you staying?" "Come and see," he said. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying, and they remained with him the rest of the day. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard what John said and then followed Jesus. Andrew went to find his brother, Simon, and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, "Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas," which means Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Come, follow me." Philip was from Bethsaida, Andrew and Peter's hometown. Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, "We have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." "Nazareth," exclaimed Nathanael. "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" "Come and see for yourself," Philip replied. As they approached, Jesus said, "Now here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity." "How do you know about me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus replied, "I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you." Then Nathanael exclaimed, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel." Jesus asked him, "Do you believe this just because I told you I had seen you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this." Then he said, "I tell you the truth, you will all see heaven open and the angels of God going up and down on the Son of Man, the one who is the stairway between heaven and earth." We get this story in the Gospel of John, where John the Baptist testifies about Jesus. He says, "Look, there he is, the Lamb of God." And two of his disciples go and follow. And then those two disciples, they testify about Jesus. Right? Andrew goes to get Simon, and then Simon starts to follow. And then they testify, Simon testifies, and they get Nathanael. And it's a snowball effect where person after person testifies and person after person starts to see who Jesus really is. And they start to believe that this Jesus really is the Messiah, that he is the Son of God. And so it is with us. We are like instruments in God's hands that he loves to play. We're tools that God uses, that he sends out into this world to testify, not because he needs us to, but because he wants us to. He longs for us to join him in this mission, to show this world who he is. And when we do, when we go out into this world, when we testify about Jesus, when we tell people who Jesus is, when we show them who he is, it has a real impact. Because when we testify, others see and others believe. That is God's plan. And the reason why God reveals himself, the reason why he calls us to testify, is because God is restoring this world to himself. Jesus came to reunite us with God. That Jesus serves as this high priest, interceding between God and humanity. And he also serves as a sacrifice, that he pays for our sin. That there would be nothing in between us and God. There'd be no issue, no sin. Jesus is this bridge between God and humanity. And he even says that in the very end of that passage, when he tells Nathanael, "This is what you will see. You will see the Son of Man being like stairs between heaven and earth." That there will be this link between heaven and earth, and Jesus is that link. That was the picture of creation in the beginning. That God's space, heaven, and man's space, earth, they would be one. They would be together. But because of sin, because of our rejection and our rebellion, those two places have split. They have separated. And God's space and our space are no more one. But Jesus comes and he says, "I am a bridge. I am a link that ties those two spaces back together again." And when we see who Jesus really is, when God shows himself to us, when we go out into the world and testify, and we share this Jesus with the world, then we start to see how Jesus links God and humanity. We start to see how Jesus is restoring this world, how he's bringing humanity back to God. Look at the language in this passage if you have your Bibles open. See how many times there's this invitation of come and see. Right? When John the Baptist says, "Look, there's the Lamb of God," and his two disciples run up to Jesus, they ask, "You know, where are you staying?" Jesus says, "Come and see." When Simon comes to Jesus, gives him a new name. He says, come, you're made new. When Nathanael comes, full of skepticism, Jesus doesn't berate Nathanael. He doesn't say, you know, why are you doubting? He simply takes Nathanael's skepticism and he shows Nathanael who he really is. He proves that he's the Son of God. This Jesus, he isn't one to reject you. He isn't one to say, no, don't come here. He isn't one to hide himself away. He says, come, see who I really am. Come at my feet. I'll give you a new name. I'll give you a new life. I'll give you a new purpose and a new meaning. And when we come with doubts or questions, when we're skeptics, he says, that's okay. I'll prove myself to you. I can handle your doubts. I can handle your questions. This Jesus is a Jesus who comes wanting you. He wants you to come. He wants you to see who he is. It's not a game of hide and seek where Jesus is out hiding and we're looking for him like, where are you, Jesus? No. No, Jesus came to us. God revealed himself to us. This is all a work of God. If you remember, we've been doing this study on John the Baptist. John's very conception was a miracle. Jesus' very conception was a miracle. Those are not works of people. That's not us wanting God. That's not us searching for God, saying, God, where are you? Why aren't you here? It's God looking at us, sinners. People have rejected God. Says, I want my own way. And instead of judging us, he comes to us. In our blindness and in our darkness, he says, I am here. This is who I really am. Come at my feet. Come and see me. I want you. And I want you to have a purpose. I want you to have a meaning. I want you to have a mission. I want you to go out into the world. And I want you to work with me in showing this world who I am. The only way we are going to really know who this Jesus is, the only way we can confirm that what we think about Jesus is true, is to come to his feet, to let God reveal himself to us, and then to go on mission, to share that picture of Jesus with the world. And when we do that, we will see that Jesus, more and more, day after day, is at work restoring this world. That he is bringing humanity to God. That he is linking heaven and earth, joining them together again. That is the only way that we can have a real and true and thriving faith, a real relationship with this Jesus, that we can know him, know that he is true, know that he really is the Messiah. Would you pray with me? Dear God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are God who reveals himself. You don't hide away, but you come to us. You say, here I am. You say, come and see. So God, help us to see. Help us to see who you are more and more and more. When we get complacent, when we think that we know everything, God, help us to see that our perceptions might need to grow, they might need to change. And God, give us a fire, give us a real passion and a real desire to show this world who you are. You don't call us to just sit on our hands and do nothing. You send us out into this world to testify. And God, help us to see that you want us, you love us, you made us for yourself, you made us to be in relationship with you, to work with you. You are restoring us back to you, and you're restoring this world. Help us to see that and to know that and to believe it. It's in your Son's name we pray all these things. Amen.